Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture reading for this morning is selected from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, starting with verses 12 through 14, and then 16 and 17, and then finishing with verses 20 and 21, as translated in the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Starting with verse 12. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus will be with all the saints. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
What if God is speaking through the songs we already know? Not just in stained glass and sacred hymns, but through the rumble of the radio, the echo of a guitar, the lyric that hits you at just the right time. Sacred text tells us that the Spirit speaks in many languages, maybe even through static, through sorrow, even through stereo. What if we take time to tune in, listening between the frequencies? Because maybe grace is leaking through the speakers. What if God is in the radio?
We live in a world that's full of sound. And there are lots of ways that we experience that sound. Sometimes it's through alerts, and sometimes it's through headlines, and sometimes it's through playlists, and sometimes it's through opinions. And it's always on, and it's always loud. How much do we hear? How often do we listen with our hearts? Because I would suggest that the spiritual life, the religious life, has always included listening. Always. The prophets listened. The disciples, for the most part, listened. And it's when they stopped listening, that's when things got off track. And so today, we begin this new sermon series, God is in the Radio. And it's not about looking for hidden Jesus lyrics in pop songs. That's just not what it's about. And I would suggest in some cases they're there, but that's not what this is about today, this month. This is about spiritual listening, learning to hear grace in between the frequencies, in melodies that weren't necessarily written for church, in lyrics that don't show up in the hymnals. And I suggest that we can still find some truth. This series is grounded in the belief, in the idea, that the Spirit still speaks, as we talked about this morning. And the Spirit speaks not just in the beauty of stained glass. The Spirit also speaks in honest words, in longing, in lament, in disruption, in desire. Friends, if we believe in a God who is infinite in all times and in all places, then we must also believe in a God who exists in the in-between spaces, between sacred and secular, between tradition and innovation, between clarity and mystery. Now, I'm not necessarily here to baptize pop culture. That's also not what this is about. I do hope that together we can go on a journey of practicing discernment, of asking, what if God is already echoing out there? What if the static isn't just noise? What if grace is leaking through the stereo? Now, if this sounds a little bit outlandish to you, I would suggest that this is not a new thing. This is not a new idea. Friends, the church has always had to stretch to speak new languages. You know, my favorite Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And what is the celebration of Pentecost Sunday? When the Spirit gives the disciples new languages, new words that people can understand. And not just Hebrew and Aramaic, of course, but the languages of the streets, the marketplaces, the homes. And we're all good United Methodists. Do we remember John Wesley? Who made a decision, even though he found it troublesome, who made a decision to preach outdoors, outside the walls of the church, to preach in the fields. His brother Charles, at least the rumor is, would listen to and adapt bar tunes, pub tunes, to communicate deep and rich theology. I had a conversation with a former bishop of the United Methodist Church. I asked him if he thought Charles Wesley would do that, and he said, I want to be clear as I talk about this. I don't agree with what this bishop told me. Maybe that's okay. He said the Wesley brothers would have found it offensive to use pub tunes. So I said, when John Wesley preached outdoors for the first time, didn't he write in his journal, "I have submitted to be more vile"? I think the Wesley brothers were willing to be offended and willing to be vile if that's what it took to reach people where they were. Why? Friends, because the gospel is worth it. Because grace isn't confined to a room. The gospel story, God's love, God's grace finds a way into whatever language the world is already speaking. Author and theologian Robin Sylvan, who wrote one of the books that's been on my seminary bookshelf for a long time, Traces of the Spirit, The Religious Dimensions of Popular Music. This one sits right alongside a book by Bill Friskix Warren called I'll Take You There, Pop Music and the Urge for Transcendence. Anyway, Sylvan puts it this way: music and religion are closely linked from either side of the equation. There are important musical dimensions to religion, and there are important religious dimensions to music. In other words, well, friends, there's always been a connection. There's always been a connection between what we sing and what we believe, between rhythm and revelation, between melody and mystery. So what are we going to do over the course of these next several weeks? In fact, it's about 2 months. We're going all the way through July 20th. Friends, what we're going to do is we're going to listen. We're going to listen deeply. We're going to listen, I hope, courageously. We're going to listen hopefully. We, friends, are going to let the Spirit speak, not just through Scripture, but through sound, through longing, through distortion, through beauty that catches us off guard. And maybe, friends, just maybe, God is still broadcasting. And all we need to do is to tune in. Now, the song that gives this series its name is called God is in the Radio by Queens of the Stone Age. And I would suggest it's not what most people would call a worship anthem. It's gritty. It's murky. The lyrics are layered. They're cryptic. Sometimes they're a bit jarring. If you listen to it over the course of this week, maybe that's how you felt as well. If you choose to listen to it, go back to the weekly email. If you choose to listen to it today or tomorrow or this week, perhaps you'll hear that grit, that murkiness, the layered lyrics, the cryptic and jarringness. There's not an altar call in this song. There's not even an easy theological resolution, but if we listen closely, something starts to emerge. There's a pattern. There's a longing. There's a pulse. The song opens with something like a vision. The lyric is, I thought I saw him on the video. A trance is keeping him under. We might hear in this that God is sensed but obscured. I've often told a story where disciples after the crucifixion are walking on the road to Emmaus. And you remember what the Bible says? The story says they are prevented from seeing him. I wonder if you've ever felt that way, where circumstance or grief or whatever might be preventing you from seeing the grace, the God, the love that's already there. So you might have that understanding of God being sensed but obscured. That sense of movement, but it's muffled. So you can see that we're already in deeply spiritual territory. Just from these opening lines, there's hidden presence, there's distorted clarity, and there's hunger for something real. And the chorus repeats almost like a liturgy. It's almost a call and response. You come back another day and do no wrong. Over and over again, you come back another day. And you know what that sounds like to me? Maybe a declaration, maybe a plea, maybe a confession. Maybe it's all three. And interestingly, if you're a musician, if you've listened to this song, you may have noticed that right at that part of the song, the time signature changes from 4-4 to 3-4. I don't know if that's intended, those three things and that time signature change, but it's musically interesting, if nothing else. But this declaration or plea or confession, whatever it is, it almost sounds to me like someone is reaching. It almost sounds like someone... It almost sounds like someone who's experienced the holy before, but isn't sure when or even if it'll come back. I tell you, that touches me to the core. And doesn't that sense of conflict, doesn't that in-betweenness, doesn't that sense of longing and wondering, doesn't that sound a bit like the Psalms? That rhythm of absence, of return, of waiting, of pleading, remembering. And then there's the line that hits kind of like a theological mic drop. God is leaking through the stereo between the station to station. And what I find is interesting, that sense of leaking, that sense of between, it's not clean. It's not clear. It's intruding. It's not on the dial, it's between the stations. That image is almost biblical to me, a God who refuses to stay put, confined to the little box that we like to put God in. A spirit that hovers in the in-between, a presence that moves like the wind, like breath, like static between signals. And there's another line, too, and it can be sort of easy to miss, but it's also hard to shake. Just repeating the slogan is a line from the song. I don't know, a warning, maybe? I wonder if we could hear it like a warning that sometimes religion becomes a jingle, that sometimes we mistake echo for encounter. But for me, this song doesn't let me do that. And maybe it doesn't let you do that either. It presses, it confesses, it lingers in the in-between. And it's not really quite worship. In fact, I'm not sure I could call it that. But it's not quite rebellion. It's just that gritty space, that in-between space where grace, oh man, where grace has a tendency to show up in spite of us. To show up even when we're not watching, even when we're not paying attention. Musicologist David McAllister says, music is always out of the ordinary and by its presence creates an atmosphere of the special. Experience is transformed from the humdrum, the everyday, into something else. You might even say it is an actualization of the mystical experience for everybody. In other words, this might not be a worship song, but it might still be a sacred moment. A messy, mysterious, unexpected frequency of grace. And if God is in the radio, then maybe we don't have to wait for clarity. Maybe we can start listening in the static, the liminality, the in-between spaces. So the song lingers in this space of ambiguity. But I do want to connect it to our scripture this week, and Sal, thank you for reading. It would be foolish to explore songs by themselves, as deeply theological as they are, but not also explore our sacred text. And I don't know if you noticed this about what Sal read and even how you read it, Sal. Did you know that this scripture is the last text in the book of Revelation? The last words in the book of Revelation. And if you remember that the book of Revelation is the last one in the Bible, these are the last words in the canonized Bible. The final word, literally. And rather than thinking of them as a conclusion, I wonder if we can see them as a call. See, I am coming soon, Jesus says. Let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. Here, at the end of this holy inspiration, rather than finding this neat doctrinal wrap-up, a neatly bowed package, instead we find an open invitation. And that's important because, frankly, friends, Revelation doesn't always feel open. It's got dragons and angels and judgment and glory and coded warnings and cosmic imagery. And here, at the end, rather than getting this sense of fear, we get grace. We don't get a lock, we get a door. And the only requirement... The only requirement? To thirst. To listen for the invitation. These verses are full of voices. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. The one who hears says, come. It's a liturgy of invitation, of call. A communal connection of call and response, a spiritual feedback loop. God calls and we call back. The divine frequency isn't monologue, it's a relationship. And just in case we miss the tone, the very last time the entire Bible says this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen." Not only with the righteous, not only with the insiders, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. All. I don't know how we can mistranslate that. All. Joyce Holiday writes it this way: "How marvelous that the last word in Scripture is a bestowal of grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen." Grace is perhaps the greatest longing in human hearts and the most difficult gift to accept. Too many of us are like the older brother in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, the one who stayed home, worked hard, kept out of trouble, and resented his father's lavish love for the wandering, squandering son. We covet a fatted calf and overlook the fact that we have been given the keys to the kingdom, grace upon grace. We do not get what we deserve. Thank God. Amen. That is the heart of this passage. And friends, I would suggest that that is the heart of this series. Not decoding revelation, but receiving it. Not sealing the canon shut, but hearing its last words as a wide open welcome. And if God is in the radio, then maybe God is also in the final reverb of Scripture, in the echoes of invitation that say, "Come again and again," in the closing grace that unapologetically refuses to exclude. And so as we explore song and Scripture, we must ask ourselves, like, what does that mean today? How does that affect me today? How does it move me in my life today? Friends, if God is leaking through the stereo, if the Spirit is moving in unexpected places, if grace is calling us from beyond the usual stations, then maybe. Maybe faith isn't about getting the signal perfect. Maybe it's about choosing to listen. Maybe it's about choosing to pay attention to the sacred, even when it doesn't sound like a hymn. Revelation ends with invitation, the song ends with longing, and we stand in the space in between where so much of faith actually happens. Between clarity and confusion, between absence and return, between God is in the radio and you come back another day and do no wrong. And as much as I love music, and you know I do, this series isn't just about the music. Friends, it's about expectation. It's about paying attention. It's about noticing. It's about becoming the kind of people who live with spiritual curiosity, who go beyond the question, "Hey, is this religious? Is this appropriate for church?" And instead ask, "Is this real?" Going beyond, "Did they mean to say this?" and toward, "What is the Spirit saying through it?" Robin Sylvan writes, "We appear to be entering a time when these hidden religious dimensions are no longer hidden, but brought consciously into full view, acknowledged and celebrated for their spiritual power. After so many significant and unexpected transformations to become the spiritual force popular music is, who knows what significant and unexpected transformations lie ahead? One can only watch and listen with anticipation and wonder, feeling an excitement similar to that experienced in the heat of the music, catching a small glimpse of traces of the Spirit." That's the point of this series. That's the posture that we together are invited into. It's not cynicism. It's not defensiveness. It's wonder. Because we don't know where the Spirit's going to speak next. But I suggest we must believe that the Spirit is still speaking, not just to the worthy, not just in the expected, but everywhere, to all. So over the course of these next several weeks, friends, I invite you to tune in, to put the dial somewhere new, to listen not for perfection, but for presence. And if all you get is static at first, that's okay. Don't panic. Because grace has a way of leaking through.